I'll start with chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, or shall establish you, and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love and of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that are quiet, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is in token in every epistle. So I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Again, these two books of Thessalonians, what have I showed to you and pointed out to you that these books are all about?
Encouragement.
Encouragement to help people get back into the right standing in their minds with God. So when we come to this final chapter, and when he says finally, that's what he says. He's writing, he's wrapping it up. This is the final chapter of his epistles. He says, brethren, pray to God, not for me, but concerning us, that the word of the Lord, what? May have free course. May is still a doubtful word, isn't it? It should be spread rapidly. The NAS says it that way. I think the New King James does too. New American Standard says it, that it spread rapidly and be glorified even as with you. The word it is there at the last. Those last two little words shouldn't even be there. They're added. So I'll read it the correct way. Finally, brethren, pray to God concerning us that the word of the Lord spread rapidly and be glorified even as with you. So what is Paul telling them? He's telling them that I have observed you and I have seen the word of God grow rapidly in you, in your culture of people, in your life. I've seen you. Isn't that encouragement?
Yes.
He's telling them, I've seen you grow. I've seen you change from this word of God. Okay? Encouragement. We got to realize this is what it's about. It's not about condemnation and guilt. And verse 2, and that we, cross out the word may, and that we be delivered from wicked and evil men, not unreasonable and wicked, but wicked and evil men, because all have not faith. Cross out that last word, men. It's an added word. It's italicized. So if you read it again, it should say, and that we be delivered, not maybe, but we be delivered from wicked and evil men because all have not faith. Now we know there's people that believe and we have people that don't believe. That would be a lack of faith. I mean, that's common sense, isn't it? To know that there's some that don't. But the Lord is faithful. There's one place in the scripture where it says in the Bible that Paul says, even if you deny him, he cannot deny himself. That's because he's in you, whether you believe it or not. He's in there, in every human being. If Adam was created by being formed from the dust and the Spirit of God or the breath of God being placed in him, then every seed that comes from him has to be of the same sort, doesn't it? So everyone has it. And we all came from that seed of Adam in the flesh. But the Lord that is faithful, who shall confirm you and keep you from evil. Now, everybody thinks when he says confirm you and keep you from evil, that he's going to set you up as some great person because you're a preacher, and nobody's ever going to do anything bad to you. You'll never see anything bad happen in your life. Now, that's a fairy tale. Didn't Jesus say they'll say all manner of evil about you? Do all kinds of bad things to you, and you're blessed. Verse 4, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you both do and will do the things which we declare, not command. The word command is almost like telling you we're controlling you. And see, that's where the church world gets this idea. It's a command. You got to do it. You don't have any option in this thing. I don't think I have an option if I love God. As long as I think I'm in love with myself more than God, guess what? I won't have any commandments. I'll do what I want to do. See? But when I realize that God's more important in my life, I'll do whatever he says because I love him. But see, they're not saying command. They're saying whatever we declare to you. We're declaring this is the word of the Lord. Now you do what you want to do. They're not making you do anything. They're showing you something. Verse 5, and the Lord direct your what? Your mind into the love of God. Who's going to get you there? The Lord is going to direct your hearts into the love of God. It's not going to be going to a church and slobbering on an altar. It's not going to be saying I'm sorry or I'm sorry I got caught in doing whatever I was doing. But it's God is going to bring me there. See, I didn't go running to God because I needed something. God came and got me. I'm sorry, I can't meet their criteria in the church world. God came and got me, and I was not in a church. What am I supposed to do? It's his timing, not mine. He chose when he came to get me. I'm glad he came when he came because I was on the edge. I needed to help, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to call out to. I was at the end of my wits, and you know what? That's where I needed to be. But God directs our minds into the love of God and into the patient waiting or the cheerful endurance of Christ. Now notice he said the cheerful endurance of Christ. If we come to the love of God and into the patience, the cheerful endurance of Christ, what's that going to do to us? See, God's going to put you there. He's going to direct your mind into that love of God and into that cheerful endurance. That means you're going to go through a lot of crap, but you're just going to smile at it. You're just going to smile and laugh and say, hey, so what? So what? I'm all right. I'm still alive. You know, what have I got to complain about? There's people out there with no legs and arms laying in a wheelchair. There's people out there with no minds. They're busted. They're broke. They're injured. Look at all the condition of humanity. And you look at yourself and say, hey, so my back hurts. Say my leg hurts. My neck hurts. My head hurts. My fingers. Who cares? Everybody's got problems in the world. What have you got inside of you? What kind of a treasure has God placed within you that you've located or he's shown to you? Man, there's the issue. It's the Christ within that is the issue. You're all right. You're fine. Absolutely. Just a confirmation.
Take like I did whenever I got out of the, where I couldn't, you know, have a hard time breathing for about 5 days. Now when I get into something tough, I can do that.
See, don't focus on what you can't do, but what you can do. That's the way you go. He says, now we command you or entreat you to you, brethren, in the name or the nature and the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus never commanded anything. Now, people look with their carnal mind and say, oh, he commanded you had to do this. No, he didn't. He just told you what Father said. He didn't say do this or else. He didn't say do this or I'll throw you in hell. Or I'll beat you up, cut your head off, or anything else, did he? He just said, this is the word of the Lord. Here it is. This is Father's word. That's it, see? So he isn't intimidating or threatening anybody. That's the nature of God. God does not intimidate, manipulate, and control like that. He shows you the love that he has for you, and that's what draws you into him. That's what does it.
It's their own carnal mind that's falsely accusing you.
Well, and as I shared with that gentleman this week, there's so much that is supplanted into our minds, that subliminal suggestion from religion, whether it's in radio, TV, books, magazines, anywhere. It's religion that is controlled and manipulated and screwed up the thinking process of most of humanity. It's not the natural mind, but it's the natural mind mixed with religion. It's that beast out of the book of Revelation that had two horns on his head, speaking of the mind, had two authorities, the natural man, the spiritual, trying to live together. And didn't James say a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways? Well, he said he had two horns on his head, but he spoke like a lamb. He looked like a lamb, but he spoke like a lion. Got a problem here, haven't we? Got a duality on a thinking process. And that's what's going on with the church world today and most people. Even though they don't go to church, they're very religious. He said, he commands you with a nature and a character, or he encourages you with the name and character of God, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that lives disorderly. Now, if a man is doing everything contrary to God, should you really be hanging with them? Because, see, they will get you. Be not deceived, it says in the scripture. Be not deceived. Evil communication or lifestyles corrupts good lifestyles. Okay? If I hang out with them, eventually they're going to get me to slide right back into that stuff. Real subtly, a little bit at a time. Next thing you know, you're right in the midst of it. So, withdraw yourselves from every brother that lives disorderly and not according to the precepts which he received from us. Now, we've told you what to do. If you don't do it, that's up to you. But he said, withdraw from them. Now, he goes on and explains this, so don't think you just write that person off. He said, because yourselves know how you ought to follow us or imitate us. The word follow should be imitate. Because we, what? Were not disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread freely or free of charge, but engaged in labor and distress night and day, that we, cross out the word might, that we not be a burden to any of you. They cross out that word might there in verse 8, last part of it. And let me read it again in the context of what it should say. Neither did we eat any man's bread free of charge or freely, but engaged in labor and distress night and day, that we were not chargeable or a burden to any of you. That's what Paul's telling the Thessalonians. He said, we took care of ourselves so you didn't have to. So you didn't have to give us anything. We're here to do it to help you freely. Paul realized that he was a gift to humanity. And most of the apostles knew that they were a gift. Yeah, people give them things from time to time, but they didn't go out and say, hey, you need to support me. You got to do it from your own heart. And when you go out and start asking for it, just like the Didache, a writing that was written in the first century. It's the word Didache means the teaching of the 12. And it was written in the first century. And now, who would that point to? The disciples. It's been authenticated. You can go to your web and check. Go to the webs and check anything you want to on a Didache. You'll find out there were 16 articles. And one of them specifically said, if any man asks you for money, he's a false prophet. Now, what does that do to about 99% of the church world? It exposes them as being false prophets because they're not trusting God to provide. They're doing it on their own strength. So guess what? But you know what? You will never find that writing mentioned in the church world.
No.
You to take care of me. It's a job. See, it's a job. It's a vocation. It's not a lifestyle. And then, like I say, it's just a job like somebody else going to work every morning. And that's not what it's meant to be. Look at verse 9. Not because we have authority, but to give ourselves, not make, but to give ourselves an example to be imitated, is what it should say. But to give ourselves an example to be imitated to you, to imitate us. So, see, whoever's ministering, we should be able to stand and say, follow my lifestyle, because look at it. You scrutinize it yourself. If there's something wrong with it, tell me about it. Okay, but I should be living my life showing you how to do this. Not telling you, not saying, do what I say, not what I do. But do what I do. And that's what I'm saying to you, the same thing. do what I do, and your life will be fine. So it should read in verse 9, not because we have authority, but to give, not make, give ourselves an example to be imitated to you, to imitate us. Verse 10, because even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man not work, neither should he eat. Because we hear that there are some among which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Well, we all know people like that. Our society has made people that way today. They encourage you not to work so they can have a job to support you. That's just the way it is. Now them of this sort we command and encourage. Now, he said the ones of this sort, the ones that won't work, busybodies, he said, I encourage them. That word exhort literally means to encourage. So I encourage you by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness you work and eat your own bread. Okay? Eat your own bread. Don't worry about somebody else. You got to take care of yourself. And see, that's the process of any parent. I could ask Lloyd right now, Lloyd, what's your desire for your three children sitting in here? Be productive citizens in society. Do what God wants in their life. You just grow up. And everybody wants their children to grow up. You think God's any different? But yet 99% of our church is sitting in a building being handicapped mentally by the preachers by telling them we're the only ones that have the right to know this and we'll tell you what you need to know. Instead of encouraging them all to grow up and be adults, they're trying to keep them to be babies because as long as they're babies, they're going to keep giving to you. And you can keep condemning them and telling them, you've got to give me your money or God's going to get mad at you.
That sounds like a cult.
It kind of does, doesn't it? It sure does. You know, I talked with a man this week, as I was telling you earlier, and he started telling me about this experience he had in church, this thing that really, not in church, but out of church, he had religious folk come to him and pray for him. And he was healed. Well, believe me, I have no problem with being healed. I have no problem with God doing anything God wants to do. I'm not his boss. But I'm just going to tell you what the scripture says and what Jesus said about healing. Jesus said, healing is for the children. Hello, what's a child? Immature. See? For the immature ones, they need what? They need these things. Yeah. But when you grow up, guess what you do? You put away childish things, don't you? See? It's not necessary. Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, in the first 2 days, today and tomorrow, I do miracles and cures, and in the third day, I'll be perfected. He's telling you, healing and cures was in Passover and Pentecost. See? It's all a process of growing up. If we don't grow up, we're going to stay there and eat the children's bread. And you know, the bread that you eat as a child helps you to sustain you to grow into an adult. It's okay, but there's a time when I don't eat that bread anymore. Now I want a piece of meat. I want some real strong stuff, something that will really change me, and I've got to keep digging in to get there. Okay? Verse 13, but you, brethren, be not discouraged. See, he's encouraged the others. He said, but you don't be discouraged. Just because they're discouraged, don't let somebody discourage you. David in the Old Testament said, when there was no one else to encourage him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. You got to realize that you've got to do some responsibility in this thing, okay? It's not about someone encouraging you all the time. There's going to be someone to encourage you when you need it. But you've got to learn when you grow up to encourage yourself, to be self-sufficient. And that's the whole point of what God is raising sons for, to be self-sufficient. When they grow up and mature, God can turn the kingdom to them because they're mature. They're thinking like he is. He doesn't have to do all the work. He can let them do the work. See, that's the point. And nobody sees that. They just want to remain children and have emotions and goosebumps running up and down their arms and down their back. He said, but be not discouraged in well-doing or doing good. You do the things that you know you have to do and don't be discouraged in them. You know, if I wanted to count numbers and figure things out like that, I could be discouraged. But that's not what it's about. It's in the quantity of change, not in the quality of change, not in the quantity of change. I don't have to see the whole world changed, but if I see one part of the world changed in one person, that's a lot. Noah preached 400 years and had no conversion. So why should I be upset if I got one? You see what I'm saying? That's no discouragement to me. God's shown me that it's not important. Joseph was in bondage for a lot of years, wasn't he? I think about 17 years he was in bondage before he got to go. He was in the pit, and he went to the prison, and then he went to the palace. That's okay, but it took him a long time to get there. But when he got there, he had authority, and no one ever took it away from him either. He had it. See, once you realize what God has placed within you, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You can be self-sufficient in the fact, not away from God or anybody else, but you don't have to have someone else to sustain you. You have enough from within yourself to sustain yourself. Verse 14, and if any man obey not our word through this epistle, mark for avoidance that man, not note, but mark for avoidance that man, and have no company or association with him, that he may be what? That word ashamed is not correct. Now, wouldn't you say being ashamed would cause condemnation and guilt on someone? That's not of God. What the word really says is that the man, that he may be turned about. It's not to condemn you. It's not to shame you into anything. It's to turn you about. It's to get your attention from the worldly way back to where you belong on the right course. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, the Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, right?
That again is working on the inside.
Working out. Inside to the outside, absolutely. And this is all encouragement. He said, mark that man that come with him, he be not ashamed. Okay, verse 15. Yet count him not as what? An adversary. The word enemy is adversary. Don't count him as an adversary, but caution him as a brother. I've had people, when I preach this message to them and teach this to them, I've heard people say, well, you're going to love somebody right into hell. Well, love never took nobody to hell. It took them out of hell. Didn't love go into the bowels of the earth and remove all the Old Testament saints? All of them? Didn't leave none of them there. Love don't put you in hell. Love gets you out of it. You might think you're in hell because of the people, the religious people persecuting you. That's a necessary process.
That's the only way to do it, to really deal with that. It's just with love.
That's all you can do. The only thing that can change it. See, anger cannot be quashed with more anger. Love is the only thing that's going to change that attitude. The whole world, nothing's going to change it except love. And it's not loving the way the world says, because the world says, if you love me and treat me good, I'll treat you good and love you. If you like me, I'll like you. God's love says, I love you because you hate me. If you hate me, it doesn't make any difference. I still love you.
Fighting the fire with the fire just makes more fire.
Makes a lot more fire.
Fighting the fire with love.
Puts it out.
It puts it out. The love is water.
Mm-hmm. It's the water that'll take care of all of it. Wash everything away. Okay, verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. This is good. Through all, not always, but through all. There's two words there. Diapas. It should say, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace through all, in all, what? Ways. Let me read it again. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace through all, in all ways.
I like what the Living Bible says.
Read it.
It says, may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace no matter what happens.
Yeah, same thing.
In other words, be anxious for nothing.
Be anxious for nothing, it sounds like, don't it? Now the last part of that verse says, the Lord be with you all. It should say, the Lord is in the midst of you all. The Lord is in the midst of you all. What's Paul telling you? God lives inside of every human being on the face of the earth, whether they know it or not.
Fear not.
Yep, fear not. Be anxious for nothing. He's here. Don't worry about it. See, you don't have to pray to some God up in heaven somewhere when he's within you. That's the hardest concept for people to understand. And they'll sit there and tell you, God lives in me. Well, then why are you looking up? I said, I can show you scriptures where he talks, don't do that, you know. He's already resident in you. Don't worry about it. Deal with him internal. Verse 17, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token of every epistle, so I write. In verse 18, he goes on to say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of you all. He's telling you again. He said it twice, so you get this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of you all. Amen. And what is grace? That divine influence into your heart and a reflection of that back into your lifestyle. Whatever God does inside your heart should reflect out in your life, and that'll be the grace of God in your life. What he gives you inside will reflect back out. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Out of the thinking process. Everything comes out of that. And I'm going to tell you, I've heard some bad things preached out of the book of Thessalonians, but I can't see a bad thing in it. I can't see anything bad about it. I can't see anything bad about the whole book. Because my eyes have been opened to see the love of God. And the love of God lets you see the clearly what's going on. And it doesn't make any difference if there's Babylonian babies being killed, because it's not about this flesh, it's about their spirit. And like Paul said, I think Paul wrote somewhere and said, turn them over, Satan, for the buffet of the flesh, that their souls may be saved. It's spirit. Let the flesh be buffeted. So what? Turn it over to that carnal mind. Let them go crazy if that's what they want to do. Because God uses that negative in somebody to help somebody else. The negative in me, I might slash somebody. God used it. But when I used it to slash somebody, God showed that I had something in me I didn't need anymore. Time to get rid of it. Cast it off into the desert. Lighten the ship with my own hands, right? He's correcting me. And God doesn't show you something and say, hey, when you get time about 5 or 6 years from now, get rid of that. He didn't waste his time. He brought it up and showed it to you for a time right now.